We're back on record now. The Honorable Mr. David Neal will continue the hearing with Mr. Ingersoll. There have been some technical problems down in Tucson. So thank you so very much. And next voice you hear will be that of the Honorable Mr. David Neal.
Mr. Ingersoll.
Yes, sir.
All right. You can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you clearly.
Oh, good. We can hear you better. There's something wrong with the audio system that we never know from site to site what we're going to get. Okay, I believe we were in the process of questions from the board. Mr. Johnson?
Sir, we were in the process of getting some questions. I was just asking you about your last ticket that you actually received.
I'm having a difficulty hearing you, sir.
Okay, that's maybe my fault. How's that? Hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes, sir. I couldn't clearly understand your question.
I was asking about the last ticket that you received for being out of line, out of order.
I'm not sure which ticket that is, sir.
It was one that I believe was in July that you received the ticket, and it said, I think the yard was being locked down and you were on medical or something. Is that?
Yeah, that was a pretty strange situation. I had gone to work in the morning. I had gone to the library to do some legal work. I left the library. A CO told me that they were looking for me. I went over to medical. It was, I believe, 20 after 10 at the time. They locked the yard down at 10:30. Medical told me that I was on report for being late. My ticket reads that I did not respond 10 minutes after I was called.
Uh-huh.
I was given a verbal reprimand for it. They can't dismiss a ticket here in the department if it isn't resolved by the supervisor the day it's issued. They have to give you some kind of punishment. So they gave me a verbal reprimand. I was 10 minutes after they had started calling for me.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions? Dr. Wright?
No questions, sir.
Okay. So, Mr. Ingersoll, we're nearing the end of your hearing. The board will be going into discussion shortly to make a determination. But before we do, we might give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Anything else you'd like to tell the board before we go into discussion? Anything you think we might need to know?
Well, I am, you know, I've been doing a lot of 12-step program stuff. They call it step work. And I've been realizing more and more the what you would call my defects of character. My substance abuse had me pretty disassociated from life, and I had almost 11 years clean when I got in that automobile accident, and it just took me completely by surprise. I learned that you don't have to have drugs to have old behavior come back, and I was just overwhelmed. And I'd like the board to believe that I am not that person, that it was a situation that was completely out of any understanding I had. I truly believe in a power greater than myself, and that if I listen to that, I can learn how to accept life on life's terms. I try to help people. I couldn't be more sorry for what happened. I can't bring Bob back. I don't actually even know how to make amends for that. But I would like an opportunity to make amends to my family, you know. I would like to be able to help to actually find Bob and allow Melissa to, you know, have some closure on that. I just, you know, God's will, I'm going to go with God's will. You people have a job to do. I'm sure you try to do it the best you can. And I just would like someone there to believe that I'm not that guy. There were circumstances that just took me to a place that I had never known before. And I truly regret what happened, more than I can ever put into words.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'd like you to hear.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board will be going into discussion.
Ms. Snell, I have got Victim Services has a letter they want to read from.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. They're doing victims advocates are going to read letters from the victim side.
Morning, board members. My name is Alejandro Palacios. I'm a victim advocate at the Arizona Department of Corrections. I'm going to read to you a statement that was provided to us by Ms. Melissa Manley Stubbs, dated December 15th, 2018, to whom it may concern. Well, here we are again, getting ready for the holidays, wrapping gifts and getting together with friends and family. At least some of us are. I, once again, will not be sharing my holiday with my family. My parents are long deceased, and my one and only brother was taken from me many years ago. That is the reason that I'm writing this letter. I understand that John Kennard Ingersoll will be coming up for a parole review at the end of this month. I strongly recommend that his parole, pardon, discharge, or commute be denied. If you have not taken the time to read Mr. Ingersoll's file on the charges and history that brought him to incarceration, they may remind you of some of the most urgent points and the impact that this has had on my life. Several years ago, Mr. Ingersoll worked with the detectives from the Cold Case Homicide Division of the Phoenix Police Department. During the initial meeting, Mr. Ingersoll denied any responsibility relating to the death and disappearance of my brother, Rob. Several days later, he spoke with detectives again and admitted to the murder of Rob and the concealment of his body in a shallow grave somewhere near Lake Pleasant, northwest of Phoenix. He also wrote out a three-page confession that consisted of fuzzy details and puzzling statements that still leave a person wondering what exactly happened. In his confession letter, Mr. Ingersoll wonders why it should matter to me, Rob's sisters, as we constantly, quote, open quote, we constantly fought all the time, close quote. That may be true, but I beg you to find siblings that don't fight, and even if they do, they love each other. This phrase almost seems like a threat to me personally, as I do not know how he will know this. During the times that detectives worked the cold case, they were still not able to find any human remains or anything that I could cling to for definite proof that my brother is really dead. Detectives worked closely with NAMUS, Namus. I have come to accept the fact that he is not alive, but I'm still looking for some type of closure. The only closure and peace that I will get is when I am notified by the Department of Corrections of Mr. Ingersoll's death while in custody. It is strange to think that Mr. Ingersoll and I share some things in common, the fact that we are both without our families close to us, the fact that we share our own nightmares when it comes to this horrible reality of the murder of my brother, and the fact that we are both in prison with the thoughts and consequences of a single decision that was made by John. I feel that I am in prison as well, maybe not with the bars and rules, but one of loneliness and loss of family. For these reasons, I feel that John K. Ingersoll should at least remain in prison for his natural life, as I must remain in mine for the rest of my life. I have recently been thinking about returning to the great state of Arizona, but I also feel some trepidation at the thought that Mr. Ingersoll may be free to roam the streets. I understand that he may be wanted for questioning in another state for a disappearance of another male subject. I will not begin to understand what caused such intense hatred to take the life of another human being, but I must admit I would not feel comfortable living in Arizona or anywhere for that matter, knowing that he is free and capable to murder again. I also feel that he may have some pent-up anger towards me for writing these letters year after year. Please, for the sake of the community, you must keep him incarcerated. Thank you for your consideration. Bless all family stuff.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Ingersoll, now.
Yes, sir.
The board's going to go into a discussion to make a determination. Stay on the phone there. Just remain silent. You can hear the whole conversation. And once we get a determination, we'll get back to you, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, the board is now in discussion. Well, this is definitely interesting and tragic and confusing. In my first time, I see that Mr. Ingersoll has gone from total denial of any involvement back in the days of the arrest and the trial, but through various means he's come to realize that he apparently did do the crime, and but he doesn't have total recall of what happened, just that it happened and he was the perpetrator, which is definitely a step forward in the process of rehabilitation, acceptance of what you've done and ownership of it. He has great programming, really, and in the past he's had some really good community support, but there's nothing really current in the packet from the community, relatives, anything like that, and there's not a progress report either, so I'm not sure that he actually put together much of a release plan. However, he did in the past contact several halfway houses. I'm somewhat torn on this one. There have been a lot of angst over the years with this case, and since the board hearings have started, Mr. Ingersoll has not been in agreement much with what the board has done. But this is a new day, a new hearing, a new opportunity. I'm somewhat on the fence, but I'm not at all happy with the lack of current release plan and support information. Mr. Ingersoll has been incarcerated a long time, and he definitely won't be successful without good support. And DOC doesn't like to release people homeless, and it takes some time to put everything in place for a halfway house. They prefer that there be something current for the halfway house so that they can get the defendant out of DOC as quickly as possible after a board hearing that grants a release. But also, the idea that the body was disposed of in such a manner that it's not been even accidentally found over this period of time is very troubling to me. In this desert, even in this climate, it is very rare that a body in a shallow grave is discovered. Animals get to it, uncover at least part of it, and then some unsuspecting hiker, hunter, whoever happens upon the remains and they're found. For them not to have been found by this time is to me is an indication that there was quite a bit of thought put into the disposal, which to me means there was a lot more to we're thinking at the time, cognizant thinking of what was going on. So right now, I'm not in favor of a release. Maybe with some updated community support might make it a bit different. But I'm going to listen to discussion from any of my fellow board members. Is it now?
Thank you, Mr. Neal. This is my first time meeting with Mr. Ingersoll. I was not present at his last hearing. And I do appreciate where his explanation and kind of how his thinking has evolved over time about the crime itself. I think he's come to have some good insights about what happened. My input would just be a practical one, and that is, after being incarcerated for this long, I think for him to be successful, he's going to need a lot more robust release plan. And just for him, I mean, just so that he can be successful at it, because of the way things have changed in all of this time. But that would be my input, Mr. Neal. So I would rather see a more well put together release plan. So thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Canales?
Thank you, Mr. Neal. I agree with your assessment and my colleague Ms. Rittenhouse as well. I do believe that Mr. Ingersoll is going through a process, and maybe a long process in this case, as far as his time of incarceration. I do appreciate that he's becoming accountable, but I think your assessment is on point in terms of just how cognizant he would have been if there was some sort of body disposal. But on the practical side, I agree that he's going to need a strong release plan. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other comments, Mr. Johnson? Dr. Wright?
No, well, since, you know, he says that he had the stroke in 2006, and it's taken him this long to come to the conclusion that he is or might be guilty, that concerns me. I'm still concerned about the victims as well as others who might have been involved, but I think that he needs to put together a better release plan, a more substantial release plan for the state of Arizona. And otherwise, I agree with my distinguished colleagues, including yourself, Honorable Mr. Neal.
Thank you, sir. Okay, based on everything we've got here, our discussion, I'm going to move to deny record parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge at this time to Mr. Don Ingersoll, AEC number 089110. I'm going to ask for a 1 year set off.
Second.
I need my motion of
Lower there. Second.
Agreed. Okay. Motion myself, second of my Mr. Thomas, agreed. Right, Mr. Johnson and Rittenhouse, and the reasons would be is a serious and violent offense, loss of human life, and be a serious and deviant offense, then it would definitely be trauma to the victim. I would not victim harassment, but it's we don't know enough about the circumstance to know whether it was, you know, all of a sudden, there was a process. So we need to go to that one. And we did violate previous probation or parole. It seems that he's got control on his substance abuse as far as we can tell. And there was a recent disciplinary infraction, but I will say on the record that it was minor, and it was done with a verbal reprimand, but it was not considered very serious, but it did happen, unfortunately. And then we're all concerned with the release plan. And when I say no family community support, it's nothing recent showing in the packet and nobody showed up today. Unless there's something else my fellow board members think should be added. Okay, so Mr. Ingersoll, you've heard the decision. Did you hear the reasons?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So see if you can get some more current stuff for your release plan and your community support by your next hearing, sir. And keep moving forward. We do wish you the best luck. And hopefully your situation with your mental acuity and stuff will continue to move forward like it is. And we'll see you in about a year when you're recertified for another hearing, sir.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised that DOC didn't send you anything. That's pretty amazing.
Well, I looked and looked, and a lot of times, because of the way the mail is and everything, we get it like the day of the hearing, and there wasn't anything in the mail today on the release packet. So,
yeah, it was only sent a month ago. All right, thank you.
All right. Would you put yourself through that in the room, please?
Sure.